Good morning. It is October 26, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is Resume or Repentance? My first scripture reading comes from the prophet Joel chapter 2, verse 23 through 27. Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be ashamed. And my New Testament reading comes once again from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Resume or repentance? I would venture a guess that most of us have created a resume at some point in our adult lives to document the following. Our education levels and degrees earned, schools attended and graduated from. Our work history and the roles we took on within a company with the noted accomplishments and how long we were employed there. We also highlight the social groups we are involved in our respective roles within them, from tutoring to volunteering, etc., etc., etc. Our resumes are meant to focus and pinpoint our accomplishments and our success and why we should be hired for a given job or role within a company or even a government agency. In other words, we are bragging about our merits and the value we would bring to a company, a private club, or a social group that we wish to join. A good resume with the right credentials opens doors that otherwise would be closed to us. Now, it is plain to see that in the world of Jesus and ancient societies, they did not have a resume as we know it. This parable by Jesus is rich with truth about the doctrine of justification by faith. It illustrates perfectly how a sinner who is utterly devoid of personal righteousness may be declared righteous before God by an act of repentant faith and deep humility. So let's recap for this parable once again. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And right away we know who the villain is because, for us, a Pharisee conjures up images of hypocrisy, hard-hearted people, and individuals who have little mercy and empathy. To our modern ears, being labeled a Pharisee is worse than being called a criminal, such as a serial killer who receives more love than a so-called Pharisee. To be correct and fair, Pharisees were devoted people who loved God, and they tried to do everything right, and they tried to do it meticulously. They wanted to keep all moral and ceremonial commandments to a T, whereas you and I, in our modern world, we struggle to remember the Ten Commandments. Pharisaic Judaism found over 600 commandments from Genesis to Malachi, and they strived to keep them all. They were so devoted to God that they did not want to say God's name in vain, so they decided not to say God's name at all. They became meticulous and fastidious in keeping all the commandments of God, from kosher laws to high holy days to moral commands. The Pharisees studied and talked daily about God's laws, and in the eyes of some, including their own, they were righteous. Jesus often butted heads with the Pharisees, but there was also another small elite Jewish group called the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees didn't believe in angels or demons, but Jesus did. They also didn't believe in life after death, but Jesus did. They only believed in the first five books of Moses as being divinely inspired, but Jesus believed in the prophets and the Psalms and all the Old Testament writings that we call the wisdom writings. Yet Jesus had more in common with Pharisees than he had with the Sadducees, or the Essenes for that matter, another Jewish sect at the time. So why are the Pharisees always coming up short in the parables of Jesus, and why did the Pharisees eagerly plot and plan for the death of Jesus? So here's the problem with the Pharisees and like-minded people down through the ages. They acted and behaved good, and they knew it. Hubris and arrogance will get you nowhere with God, and it will do the same with all people down through the ages. There is an old cliche that we are familiar with in the church. People know the letter of the law, but they miss entirely the spirit of the law. How many people inside and outside the church believe that following and maintaining the rules is the point of God's commandments, but miss entirely their main point, which is love, mercy, kindness, and faithfulness to God and others? The problem with the Pharisees and like-minded people is that they didn't get it. They don't get it. Their resume of meritorious works triumphs all other virtues. Let me read again from the gospel. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." The Pharisee believed prayer was all about him and not God. He foolishly thought his prayers were the opportunity to submit his resume before God, wherein he was bragging and not begging for forgiveness. Folks, do we really think that we can impress and wow God with our devotion and our actions? The tax collector, however, with no formal religious education or training, nailed it in his prayer when he prayed, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." You see, one man was bragging to God, and the other man was begging before God. One man who went home justified and righteous in the eyes of God, and the other man who did not. There was a popular saying today, and it refers to someone knowing their audience correctly. They could be a politician, a professional athlete, an entertainer, or a normal everyday man or woman. And the saying goes like this: you have to read the room in order to communicate effectively. Read the room. Know your audience. God Almighty knows how well we do and how poorly we do. There are things we struggle with badly, and there are other things that we glide by, having no problem with them at all. My goodness, how could we ever keep over 600 commandments when we cannot remember, much less keep, the 10 commandments? When I think about my life, past and sometimes present, I know that. I know that I am not always loving or kind. I know that there are times when I am proud and boastful and thoughtless of others. And if I am really, really honest, I know that I have been overly hard and horrible towards others. Folks, all of us would be in serious trouble with God and eternity for that matter, if we only had to rely on our righteousness in order to deliver us and to save us literally in every sense of the word. It is the grace and mercy of God that counts, And in the end, the only thing that counts. You and I are in no position to brag before the Creator of the universe. When you think about it, prayer and humbling and coming humbly before God in worship, in our giving, in our praising Him, it really is begging Him for grace and mercy. We need God to forgive us, to heal us, to embrace us, and to make us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. I earnestly implore everyone who is listening, pray for mercy and ask God to help you become merciful. Beg God for forgiveness so that you can be forgiving as well. With humility, ask God to help you keep His commandments. And then, on your hands and knees, beg God to have the wisdom, the faith, and strength to do and keep God's will in your life and in the church that you worship in. Amen.